I can remember over 2 years ago when we got the call that Cargill had decided, you know, that they were leaving, and I talked to some of their executives and talked to you, and
heartbreaking.
What's that?
It was heartbreaking.
Huge impact in so many ways, and of course, Mark, you know, the property tax and everything else, and mayor of the jobs and all that kind of stuff. So, but it was more than 2 years ago we first met with ADM, and really felt there was good potential right from the start. But they're very thorough, I guess is the best way to put it.
They are.
And there were some other groups that wanted to do some things too. And I give Connie a lot of credit for working through that and getting a project. I just don't know how we could have gotten a better project. And we want to keep working to add on not only to what ADM's going to do, but to what Spiritwood Ag Energy Park is going to do. And obviously Great River Energy is a huge part of that. There's a lot going on with Great River Energy right now. And all this stuff is kind of tying into our whole effort now to not only crack the code on carbon capture and storage, just like we cracked the code on oil production in the Bakken. We're going to do that. It's going to have a national impact. And these things are actually all going to tie together statewide. And so that's why we need to understand and recognize these opportunities and work to build on them. And so I'm just going to lay out a couple things, and then I'm going to ask for the guys at this table to kind of add some things, and Jeff Zuger as well, to just talk about what's going on here so that we're doing everything we can help, everything we can to help them be successful in these endeavors, whether it's what we're trying to do at the federal government or at the state level, or here locally. But you're talking about a $350 million facility that hopefully will be up in time to process the 23 soybean crop. It'll process about a quarter of the soybeans that we grow in the state right now, about 25% of them. As you know, actually Cass County is the largest soybean county in the country. They grow more soybeans there than any county in the nation. And of course, a lot of them around here as well. And obviously that's a huge benefit to our farmers because they've got a local market. And anytime you can reduce that transportation cost, that means a better net price for our farmers. So that's a huge deal right then and there. But at the same time, this plant then will not only produce food grade oil, I believe, because I can't make any announcements for the company, but I believe and have been working for them to also use some of their oil for Marathon to process into renewable diesel out in western North Dakota. And in fact, Senator Amy Klobuchar and myself are just putting together a letter that we're going to get a bunch of senators on, asking that USDA also approve and EPA, the canola for the renewable diesel tax credit as well, because we're the number one grower of canola in the country, and a lot of it's grown out west. And so if they could qualify canola for the credit, that's going to be a big boon for our farmers out there. So we're in process of doing that. We had the EPA director in Bismarck today. I talked to him about it, and hopefully we'll get that piece done. So one, the impact here for agriculture and our farmers. Then two, tying into that Marathon facility, which helps make that refinery viable as they produce what's called renewable diesel, which then they sell on the West Coast as a low carbon fuel, and of course get a better price. So that it continues to create that bond between ag and energy that we're putting together and is really being driven out of, in this case, the Spirit Ag Energy Park. Then also, and that's why I want these guys to talk about some other synergies that come into place, in that the ADM facility will be buying steam from the power plant here. Why is that important? That continues to make the power plant more financially viable, right? As you sell, have more revenue streams, that means we keep that plant here and continue to make it stronger for the future. And hopefully we continue to add customers for it as well. So that again is a synergy between energy and ag, selling that steam, which the processing plant will use. And then for the ethanol plant here, Jeff Zuger is gonna tell us a little bit about what they're already doing to do carbon capture on their ethanol plants. And we actually had a great event out at Blue Flint Ethanol, which is next to the Great River Energy Coal Creek facility. And they've already started down the trail of carbon capture for Blue Flint Energy. And obviously, they have that opportunity here as well. And in fact, that opportunity has now become something I don't think we contemplated, although, you know, Jeff and Al, they're always way ahead of me. But now we're working with a company out of Iowa that is actually working to join ethanol plants together in Minnesota, South Dakota, and Iowa with our plants here in North Dakota, all these ethanol plants, build a $2 billion pipeline and bring the CO2 for 30, maybe 50 ethanol plants up here to North Dakota. Why? Because we can put it downhole. We have the ability to do carbon capture and storage. The other states can't. Why is that? Why would they build a $2 billion pipeline to come here? Because we have not only the geology, the pore space to put it down, but we're one of only two states in the nation that has been approved by the EPA to do it. The other one's Wyoming, but we were first. And we didn't just start on this last week, by the way. We started it back in 2008, put together a group, and we had took the model from the IOGCC, which is the 32 states that produce oil and gas. I was president of that association at that time when I was governor. We took their model, we went to the legislature in 2009, and they passed the legal and put in place the regulatory regime so that we can actually put CO2 down in the ground and store it safely. That's not just about the geology, okay, which I'll talk about in just a minute, but then that was modified, we got the regulatory stuff done, and in 2017, 8 years later, EPA approved us. And so here we are 13 years, over a decade's worth of work to have that regulatory regime in place. Why is that important? Well, one, you gotta have the geology. So we have the geology, but the EERC, the University of North Dakota, we've had a, what we call the P-Core partnership where they've gone out and figured out where that pore space is, meaning you can put the CO2 downhole. But if we went over to Cole's farm, which well, that's not where it's gonna be stored, but if he were a farmer or a rancher out west, where a lot of this may go, you don't get to just go out there and start putting CO2 downhole on his place, right? There has to be rules of the road. Well, how does that work? Well, a company has to post bond to do it so that if there's any kind of leak or any kind of problem, they take care of it. And they pay into a fund that we set up through the legislation so that if they went out, ever went out of business, that fund would make sure that any remediation is covered. Furthermore, when that company stops putting CO2 downhole, then for about a certain period of time, they have to maintain an insurance policy. It's either 10 or 15 years, I can't remember, so that that's covered. And then after that, the fund they pay into the state fund takes over. So if it's Claire Carlson's farm, he knows that if there's ever a problem, it's gonna be taken care of by the company, the bond, the insurance policy they have to put in place afterwards, which is still a bond, or the state fund. You have to have all that in place in order to sequester CO2. So there's a lot of places talking about doing this, but we've been getting ready for 10 years. I don't know, you know, like I say, and they gotta get EPA approval, which is no small thing, okay? So that's why when we talk about ethanol plants doing it, sure, they can put the CO2 down here. In Minnesota, South Dakota, Iowa, they can't. So that's why they're getting Summit Ag is getting them all together out of Iowa, trying to get 30 to 50 plants. They'll bring the CO2 up here, $2 billion pipeline. We'll put it downhole. And oh, by the way, if they're putting it downhole on your property, guess what? You get paid. It's a revenue stream. It's just like out west in the oil fields, you know, when we bring up water from the wells along with the oil, you put that water right back down saltwater disposal wells. So we put it right back down 2 miles from where it came up. It's recycling, right? But the farmer or the landowner that owns those wells, he gets paid for every barrel of water we put down. And our folks are gonna, A, know that they're protected, and they're going to get paid if that carbon storage is on their property. And so we're looking now, when we talk about cracking the code on carbon capture and storage, you always think of the coal-fired electric plants. Yes, we're going to do that. DGC, we certainly believe Coal Creek, Minn Kota. So that's where we're going to strip CO2 off the coal-fired electric plants. But I don't know how often you hear it, but we're going to do that off renewable fuels too. Now think about it. We're also going to figure out how we pay farmers for farming techniques that capture CO2, right? And then when they grow those crops, corn or soy or whatever, and it goes to the plant and we strip off the CO2, that's actually a carbon negative process now, isn't it? So that's where we're going, and that's why I want to, one, talk about it. I talk about this all the time, cracking the code. We're going to do it. We did it with the Bakken and oil production. We're going to crack code on carbon capture and storage. And it isn't going to be just energy. It's ag and energy working together. And we're an ag powerhouse. We're an energy powerhouse. There's no reason we can't lead the country on this. And I believe we will. I think, in the case of oil, when I started as governor, we produced less than 100,000 barrels a day. And we figured out, we cracked the code. We did a ton of things, set up oil and gas research funds, set up the right kind of environment, had studies done by a geological survey, all those things, and the industry came in, cracked the code. We got to 1.5 million barrels a day. We changed the whole shale oil industry in this country and beyond, and drove this country to energy independence, energy security. We could have that same kind of impact in terms of what we're talking about now with CCS. And this ag, this Spiritwood Ag Energy part is a big part of it. It's a big component of it.